Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing. We've got you covered. Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
Y'all smoking the competition. Oh, come on, tell me how that feel, baby.
Stop it, Rich. Stop it.
Ricky Rose. I'm going to do keep my going. Ricky Rose.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Way this day is gone. It feels like it's 4 o'clock. Day is flying.
Right.
It is Dukes and Bell. Each Wednesday night, join Day-Day Lewis for Prep Sports Nation. Guys, comprehensive look at the teams and athletes making news in high school sports across the state. It's brought to you by Ingles. Low prices, love the savings. That's Prep Sports Nation. Wednesday nights on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Thanks for being here. Thanks for listening to Atlanta's number one sports station, its number one sports show. And there was a lot going on today, and there just has been, obviously, leading into the big game this week and the Super Bowl. That's one part of it. But the finality of finally, Mike, getting all these hires done and now knowing what exactly this front office is going to look like, as Ian Cunningham had his presser today, it just feels like, okay, take a deep breath. And now what are you going to do to improve this team? How are you going to improve this team? And look, if you feel like Mike and I don't think we're that far off. I think we lost a bunch of games last year for lack of execution and coaching. And I'm not telling you we can't upgrade, because you can always upgrade in certain spots. But this is not a rebuild, and this is certainly not a redo.
Right.
There are plenty of guys and playmakers on this team on both sides of the ball that you can feel really good about. But now Ian Cunningham is tasked with, Mike, the improvement. And I'll say this, and I brought this up a little bit yesterday as we were talking about this. You know, I heard Abe talk about this, I think it was over the weekend, where he was like, you know, he's going to get a pass the first year, talking about the general manager, because we don't have a first-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
I completely disagree with that. Your roster is built through rounds 2 through 7.
Right.
When you go look at these football teams in the National Football League, if you screw up a first-round pick, you don't deserve to be a GM. That's a given. How do you build your team in rounds 2, 3, and 4, where a majority of the players in this league, that's where they come from? So I'm not giving any passes, and there's no additional pressure for Ian. I think he's going to do a fine job. But this idea, like, because we don't have a first round, we can just kind of take a break, and I'm not going to grade him. This is where his experience, Mike, with the Eagles and the Ravens comes into play. 2, 3, 4. You can get players in those rounds that impact your football team immediately.
And again, guys, we don't know if somebody hit me up on the text, like, can we trade somebody? Well, I don't think that's – well, again, I won't rule anything out. You know, I don't know exactly who, as far as a contract stage of their career, would be tradable right now on this team. There's some guys that I'm just going to let walk right now. You know, I mean, we don't have the rights to Tyler Allgeier. He's a free agent. Same thing goes for Pennington. You can franchise tag Kyle Pitts. But we got 3 more years when it comes to Penix. You know, to me, you know, just hypothetical. You know, maybe there's a guy they've earmarked, and all of a sudden he's still there in the bottom of the first. Maybe we move up. Maybe we do. He said he has one of mortgage picks, but perhaps there's somebody that, you know, you can do it within the context of this draft, and you could be able to pull it off. Look, only time will tell, but he's come. If you want to look at the trends, look at how, as we said, look at how the Ravens operate, look how the Eagles operate, and look how recently the Bears have. And you can, I mean, I'm saying you can do exactly, we're going to do it just like them. But, I mean, they found the right guys.
Yep.
You know, one thing, you didn't turn over this entire front office. I heard Randy McMichael mention this earlier. There's scouts that work for us. As a matter of fact, one guy's been advanced. They've reshuffled some of the cards in the deck. But, you know, you've still got some folks that, now he gets a new perspective on what, maybe this information was falling on deaf ears, right, with some of the scouting. We don't know.
Yeah.
So it's a whole, like I said, it's. I just think if you're going to look at it as glass half empty, I have no reason to right now. Got no reason to not believe in the guy based on where he's coming from.
Yeah, and look, it's his job to process all that information.
Right.
Again, because the GM or the head coach doesn't necessarily take the advice of the scouting department, whether they did or didn't, and I think they did at times, and maybe they didn't. But that has no bearing on, you know, what Cunningham's going to do and coming in here. And by the way, when a new guy comes in, usually, Mike, he goes, this is the kind of people I'm looking for. This is what I'd like to do. And Kevin Stefanski's going to do the same thing. And then the scouting department's tasked with going out and trying to find those kinds of guys, right? I mean, the obvious players in every draft that you guys do these mock drafts with, those are the obvious ones. It's the Puka Nacuas of the world,
right,
that when you find a guy and you go, you got to see this guy play. You're not going to believe this. and then you're able to get him on your team, Mike, and you've got a coach who's smart enough to use him and put him in a system that he's productive. Those are the things that we're talking about. I'm not talking about the first round guys.
Right. Harry Douglas was a third rounder, you know, back in the day. That's that great 2008. Yes, I said it. Great. Thomas, if you're listening, great draft class that Thomas had back then. You know, I mean, we picked up, I mean, a fifth rounder, Grady Jarrett. You know, Grady Jarrett. You had a guy that was picked in the top 10 in Vic Beasley, and the guy that had the more lasting career was drafted in the fifth round from Clemson in that same draft. So we've talked about, I mean, Tyler Allgeier, fifth rounder. You know, then there's the guys that, unfortunately, real quick, guys, you said you thought that Fontenot was 50%. Yeah, Rucarolo has got a pop for me, man. You moved up. You moved up big into the second round. You moved up. You said that Rucarolo is one of the top 35 players in that draft. He has not played like one of those guys yet. Not saying he can't, but that's got to pop this year. Hopefully it does.
All right. Want to hear from you guys and your thoughts. As you heard from Ian Cunningham, we're going to replay the interview with Andy and Randy coming up here in less than 10 minutes, so stay tuned for that. There is a lot of other stuff going on around the NFL. Let's get to 4th and 1.
It's time for 4th and 1 on Dukes and Bell.
First down. Let's get this right now.
All the NFL news and notes you need as we drive for the touchdown on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Let's hear from Roger Goodell, Mike, your favorite guy who gave his state of the game.
State of the NFL, Carl.
One of the things he talked about is these international games. Man, they're going to 9 international games.
Yeah, man, 3 in the UK and then 6 all over the world, man.
It's crazy.
Australia seems like a stretch. In more ways than one.
I know. Well, and then they got a game in Paris this year. Now, I know Saints fans won't be able to afford to go there, but their team will be playing over there, Mike.
Right. Trusty's working on his French right now.
Let's hear from Roger Goodell.
Well, it's changing hourly, but the one thing I do know is we're going to have 9 games internationally.
Gotcha.
And we're excited by that. We're in several new markets, Australia. We're moving from Rio to Brazil. You mentioned Paris is a new market. We're going back to Munich. We're going to be in London, of course. We just think, and we have a really big announcement from my standpoint, is we're heading back to Mexico City in December, which I think is wonderful for our fans in Mexico. While they've been redoing the stadium for the World Cup, this will be a chance for us to get back there this December, and we can't wait for that either. So I think it's the ambition that we have to be a global sport, but it's also the demand that we're having. We're hearing from cities all over the world that want to host these games and that really want to get more American football. And that's one of the things that we're really focused on.
Okay. I know that 2020, I was going to go to Vietnam. They were going to have a Formula One race. So maybe, Carl, the NFL in Hanoi.
It feels that way.
I mean, where else did you, Raj, where else are we going to go, man?
Shanghai.
I mean, yeah, that's the thing. It came from China. That would be the next, but that's kind of, I don't know about that one just yet. But yeah, the Munich game, we're of the impression that Falcons will be the home team in Munich. And hopefully if it dovetails with Oktoberfest, won't that be something? That one's cool, but that's manageable. The idea, imagine if you took somebody from a Central or East Coast time zone to fly all the way to Australia. Let alone a team from L.A. That's an entire day. I've made that trip. That's a day in the plane, man.
You've been down there?
I've been to Australia twice for the Formula One race.
I've never been, and I will tell you, that team's going to have bye. Both teams are going to have to have a bye.
There's no other way around it.
No, you can't come back and play on a short week and taking that flight, Mike. I agree with you. But that's Goodell. Here's what else he said. This is interesting. When are we going to get to an 18-game season? Everybody assumes that this is going to happen. Goodell said, not so fast.
We're fortunate we have quite a long CBA in front of us, but I think we have not had any formal discussions about it and, frankly, very little of any informal conversations. I've heard people talk about it in the context. It is not a given that we'll do that. It is not something that we assume will happen. It is something that we want to talk about with the union leadership. As you know, they're going through a transition, and hopefully that'll get solidified this spring. And as they determine their priorities, we are doing the same on the ownership level so that when we get together, we can address these issues together.
Players are going to want perhaps another buy. We've always said, and again, how much is it to add 5 players in salary? You know, on your practice squad more? I think you need to expand the roster. I've always felt 60 was the nice round number for the roster.
I do too.
But again, that you know, the NFL owners are going to push back on that. Because it cuts into profit.
The NFL expanded. I know we forget. In 2021, that was a big year. We went from 16 to 17 games. This current CBA does not expire until 2031. Now, I don't think we're going to wait that long, Mike, but there's a chance we could because, again, to your point, you still got to get the players to sign off on this. So even if they have the discussions and this starts to heat up, which it hasn't, you may be talking about a couple of years before they get to a place where they go, yeah, we agree on all the things that we need to have for adding another game. But I'm with Mike on this. I do think eventually we're going to get there. It just makes total sense for the league to ultimately get there. Again, cut another preseason game.
Right.
And with now all the international games, Mike, you're talking about, hell, every team possibly playing at least one game overseas.
That's what they've been talking about. Everybody will play an international game. So, look, the two ways of looking at it. You know, if you're a fan and you could barely afford season tickets, you can't afford these trips. You know, I mean, we're lucky. I was blessed to go this year. Not everybody can do that. You know, but again, it's almost like the participants in the stadium are the people they care about the least, if we're honest, you know, between personal seat licenses and how stadiums get built and everything else. It's just, you're just kind of like in the scenery, you know, but that's how they grow. Guys hit out the text line, why do we do this? Why did the NBA try to go to China and everything else to expand markets? You've sold, I mean, yes, we can probably sell a few more shirts, hats, Carl, and gear here in the States, but you're trying to expand to sell more. It's market share, increasing your market share around the world, making more money for everybody.
Yeah, and they've done that. I mean, the funny thing is when you go overseas now, you do see American football jerseys.
Right.
You know, and look, the fans that do show up for these games over there, they do have a love and a passion. But I've always said, Mike, it's our thing. It's not their thing. It's almost like the circus comes to town and I got to go check it out.